Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. We are in the third of a series on the millennium, what will it be like? The millennium, what will it be like? And we have been proving from the scriptures in series number two that God is going to remove the curse from the earth during the millennial period. And in closing that particular section, we want to look at a few scriptures in the book of Isaiah in chapter 35. The saints of God are going to have a part in the millennium, regardless of the fact that they will be out-translated prior to that point of time. And I'll have to confess that the more I see what the leaders of this nation are doing, and the more I see the evils in this nation and what's happening, the more I'm getting anxious for millennial earth, and the more I'm understanding why we shall rule and reign with him with a rod of iron. There has to be, at the end of that period of time, when Jesus Christ comes at a second coming, to stop the battle of Armageddon, and usher in the last 1,000-year period upon earth, the 7,000-year period since the fall of Adam, the millennium, there has to be a rebuilding, not only of the world which has been torn down, but the philosophies and the attitudes that have been torn down. There has to be a new kingdom built, starting from those that remain at the end of that period. Don't think that just because people see Jesus coming, that all of a sudden their hearts are full of righteousness and there's no problem. It isn't everybody is transformed to be perfect. While they're on the millennial earth, these people have lived in sin, they have had demonic problems, and they are already a mess when Jesus Christ takes over. What really happens is that they have a visual and immediate understanding that Jesus is God, and they recognize that all of this has come because of their sins, and they have come to a place where they know now the truth, but now they have to be transformed. Now they have to be changed. Now their hearts have to develop. We know who Jesus is too. And we are filled with his presence, but we're not living perfectly either. And yes, Satan will be bound, and that will help an enormous amount. But remember, these people have built old patterns and habits, and they still are of the fallen nature, and they still have to become like Christ. Remember, Adam didn't have a fallen nature before the fall. And Adam knew who God was. And Adam was in communion with God. And Adam had not sinned. And yet Adam had to grow into the likeness of God. But he even chose to disobey God. And so it is not a immediate heaven on earth at the millennium. There has to be built. There's a lot of work to be done by saints. And God will do it. And there's going to be a need for ruling with a rod of iron. I'll tell you something. Us saints of God, as God gives us rule over the millennium with him. And I'm not talking about a vindictive human spirit as opposed to coming back in glorified bodies. But I'm just saying there's going to have to be a ruling with a rod of iron. We're not going to put up with the nonsense and the sloppiness that's going on in this world. There's so much corruption and vice. There's so many problems. The earth is going to be in such a state of ruin. It's going to take real wisdom and understanding. It's going to take effort and willingness on the part of the people to rebuild this earth. But God has given the earth in good condition to man, and they've messed it up badly, real badly, in the very first millennium and in every millennium thereafter. And it's going to be turned over to Christ and his saints in a total mess. And with God's wisdom, Jesus Christ ruling and his saints ruling with him, they're going to turn this into a virtual paradise on earth and a real blessing. And so there's going to be the latter house of Israel is going to be greater than the former. The end thereof is going to be much greater, and you're going to end up, well, I'm getting ahead of my message. I think I better hold that next comment. Isaiah 35, God's going to remove the curse, as we've been reading about. Verse 1, and the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. It's a personification, speaking as though they are people that can feel, because they're going to be blessed. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. There isn't going to be the waste, the sandy waste. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon, the big cedars of Lebanon, shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, the bountiful plain of Mount Carmel, hill of Mount Carmel, which bore so many fruits, and Sharon, that fruitful plain. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. The desert shall be like orchards. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. There's some question as among the commentators as to how to translate that Hebrew word that the King James translates as translated dragons, but it's certain beasts of the desert. And in this he is saying, it's no problem for God who has all, you can dig down in the earth and get wells. Well, God knows how to break up those fountains of the deep, like he did at the time of the flood, and irrigate that land just overnight. And an highway shall be there, and it's called the way of holiness. Now, these things I'm reading now, you'll see that they really embrace two things together, both a physical blessing and a spiritual blessing, because they're not really apart. Because they are coming into a spiritual relationship with God, the people are blessed spiritually, and the land is blessed also as well. Look at verse 5 and 6. And see that the spiritual is there. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. I think these things are talking about both spiritually and physically. When God comes to bring a blessing, a part of spirit upon his people, there is going to be the eyes of the spiritually blind will be open. But because in the atonement there is not only spiritual healing, but there is physical healing, the eyes of the actual blind will be open. Just as when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind at his time. And still being in an old covenant dispensation in the Gospels prior to his death, burial, and resurrection, there were still a lot of these things done physically and typologically pointing to the spiritual. And Jesus used terms. He raised the dead, but he talked about that spiritually too. Awake from the dead, O thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee life. And pointing towards the spiritual. And these things, in my judgment, are going to happen both in the natural and in the spiritual. God is interested in the whole man, body, soul, and spirit, bringing a man back to a total restoration of the whole person. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That's also spiritually. Jesus talked about them having eyes and cannot see, and having ears and cannot hear. Constantly he used the natural for the spiritual, but he also dealt with the natural. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Darby translates it torrents, and so does the Interlinear by J. Green. Torrents, streams just pouring out in the wilderness. Let's look at chapter 33. And verse 24. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. That's chapter, verse 24. 33:24. There's going to be, they're not going to say they're sick. He's going to take care of the physical. But he also speaks to the spiritual. He says they shall be forgiven iniquity. They shall not be sick. They shall be forgiven iniquity. They shall not be spiritually sick, because they shall be forgiven iniquity. Look at chapter 29 and verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Out of obscurity and out of darkness. There is a spiritual, they shall see spiritually, out of a spiritual obscurity, they shall see out of real darkness. Both shall be there. And the meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord. Right along with the physical, he talks in the next clause with an also, talking about the spiritual. You can't get away from it. The two are intermingled and wrapped together. They're both there. Total restoration, healing, and health. The longevity of man will be restored. I brought to you last week the ages of man before the flood, immediately after the flood, and then from the World Book of Knowledge, from the World Almanac, the age of those in Christian nations and those in Muslim nations and those in heathen nations. And we saw a great drop at the flood, and then it fizzled down a bit, and another drop at the time of Abraham. And then it's been, as the scripture says, about 70, and by reason of strength, if your life is 80, it's going to become a little bit feeble. And we have seen that the United States and Europe average about just a little over 70, about 71 years. Somewhere around there, and the heathen nations are close down in the high 50s, considerably below the Christian nations. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 65. We're talking now about longevity being restored, of life being restored during the millennial period, which is a time that comes after world government, after the out-translation of the saints, after the tribulation on the earth, on the saints of God, and after their resurrection, and after the plagues being poured out, and then after the battle of Armageddon, and after the second coming of Christ, which stops it, and after, and then into the millennial period. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now, he is saying that we're not going to be having all these deaths at childbirth and in young age. You know, there, especially among the heathen nations, the amount of children that die at birth is tremendous and much greater than in Christian nations. And they're going, people are going to fill out their life. They're not going to be dying as children. They're going to fill out their life. There shall be no more offense an infant of days. Just an infant of days. Many dies. There's going to be health, and they're going to keep right on living. Nor an old man that hath not filled his days. They're going to fill up the days that God will give for them. For the child to die 100 years old. If there's a death in a person that's 100 years old, it'll be like a child. He won't be a few days. If there's some kind of untimely death, it'll be like 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, could be accursed. If he lives 100 years, he can be accursed, because he has knowledge. Satan is bound. Jesus Christ is reigning with the saints. And if a man is 100 years old and he's still not serving God, which implies that there's not going to be everybody serving him perfectly. And there's other scriptures that tell us that as well and make it clear. He'll be accursed that he's still living at 100. He should have died much earlier. He should have been smitten or something. Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. That's happened in Israel in days past. They built things and the enemy came in and drove them out, and the enemy took the land because they would not serve God. They shall not plant and another eat. That happens in the days of Gideon, you know. So he was sneaking out some wheat. He was not allowed to do that. Everything that they raised had to go to the Midianites, and they dealt back what they wanted to them in a socialism. It was a communism, at that time, an idealistic communism, if you want to say it that way, in which one would, and I say by idealistic, I mean as they preach it in Russia, not as they practice it, and not that it's ideal, and they take everything, the state takes all and gives back. But God delivered them. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Now, how long does a tree live? Well, the giant sequoias, some of them are up as much as 4,500 years old. That's unusual. But trees live commonly 100 years old, 2, 3, 4, 5, 600 years old. Many of them 1,000 years old. Didn't say what tree. These are not exact numbers. He's just dealing with ambiguous statements referring to long life. And if this earth is brought back 23 degrees to its upright axis in relationship to a point in space and not tipped like it was after the flood, and if we see people living almost 1,000 years prior to the flood, then it's reasonable to think that since there's a restoration of all things, the curse is being removed, other things are being changed, that people's lives will go back to the ages that they lived at the time of Adam and Seth and Methuselah and those who lived at that time prior to the flood. They are as the days of a tree, and my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Right now, you know, you just get things kind of comfortable, and next thing you know, you can't enjoy them unless you're too old or really, you know, to really get the benefit out of them, don't have the energies anymore. But they shall long enjoy the work of their hands. It's going to have a long time to build. So you can really get your debts paid off if you have 1,000 years to do it. You know, if you got a good situation to begin with, and your blessing is upon you, you don't have to gear up for war and pay every other nation in the face of the earth, and there isn't all the graft and everything, you know, taking it out, and everybody's willing to work, and there isn't all the freeloaders, and there isn't the sickness and all the insane and all the criminals and everything else they have to pour the money into. And it's a good, righteous, wise reigning from Christ. It's going to be a beautiful place to live. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 8, next to the last book of the Old Testament. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Now, it does show us, there's two questions here. The first question, does that mean that they shall live long, but at the end of their age, when they're in the 900s, we'll say, let's say they're 900 years old and they're going to die at 950. Does that mean maybe the last 50 years they are going to be enfeebled and with cane, just like with a walking stick, just like people do now between the ages of, we'll say, 70 and 75 or something like this, before they pass away? Or is he talking about those who were born before the Battle of Armageddon, who already, their bodies have already, you see, there are different ages. They're 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. There are different ages by the time that Christ comes, and they end the millennium, those already old people. Or does that mean that he's referring to those who remain and they continue on, and they're not just passing away, but there are those who were born before that time, and maybe even young, but not referring to those who were born in the millennium, who may keep their health up until the time they pass away, or if you're talking about those born prior to that time in the millennium who are very aged. I don't think there's any way to prove exactly what he's talking about, but we know there will be old age, and we know there will be people who show that old age with a staff in their hand for very aged. Very ancient age. But regardless, there's going to be a great difference in the length of the time people live and the renewing of their cells. I think the very fact, you see, what isn't often understood by a lot of people, I think, is when God removed the firmament at the time of the flood, there hadn't been a rain before that, and now you're getting solar radiation all the days of your life. We don't know anything different. There's no way to measure now what it's like without that solar radiation. What is a human being like if he doesn't have the solar radiation we have for his entire life? There's no way to check that out. We don't have such a condition. There's nobody who's lived under that condition. There's no way to know. But this radiation is because you can't see it. Most people don't pay much attention to it. But there's a lot more to this. It has a lot more impact than people realize. And in the times of solar flare-ups and activity on the Earth, these various things that happen, it makes a lot of difference. And that firmament there, the ozone layer, everything that's involved in that which was before and is not now, and the ages of the people and how they markedly changed at that period of time in history, would show us that there's going to be differences in how we react on this Earth. And the relationship of the Earth to the Sun, the orbit, which is slightly elliptical, shall go back to a circular orbit. We shall go back to more uniform seasons. We don't know, there's going to be with the curse of the Earth being removed and diseases and everything else, you know, everybody gets diseases all during their life, and there's a weakening process through various sicknesses. You know, sometimes there's certain things happen to you and you're not quite the same after. We don't really understand all these things, but there's going to be a vast difference. Now, the Earth is going to be repopulated, and we want to look into that next, Isaiah chapter 10, because after plague and the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be a demise of a tremendous amount of people on this Earth. And right now, the Earth is doubling, the population is doubling about every 30 years. I understand that from the time of Adam till about 1830, I believe, we are getting as much people on this Earth born every 30 years as from the time of Adam, as existed from the time of Adam to 1830. I think it's about that figure. And this ball is only so big, and when this many people get slaughtered off, and people can live long and without sickness and without disease, that Earth is going to be heavily repopulated at the time of 1,000 years. That gives you time for a lot of people to be born under ideal conditions. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 18. Let me shoot it right for you, so. Yes. Talking about God's judgment coming, getting rid of the problems in the Earth, and shall consume the glory of his force and the fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And the rest of the trees of his forest, let me go back to verse 17 here. Let me go back to 16. I guess we get an understanding of this. Therefore shall the Lord, the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. And under his glory he shall kindle a burning like a burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame. And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. Now, he's talking about people. In the scriptures, we see many, many places that trees represent people. There was a proverb about the briar and the great fir tree and what was it, another tree, all wanting to be king. And the scriptures that deal with the forest and the trees in relationship to people, or a number of them. And shall consume the glory of his forest and of its fruitful field, both soul and body. See, forest and field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when the standard bearer fainteth. There's kind of judgment coming. And the rest of the trees of this forest, the ones that are left, that God has not taken out, speaking of people, shall be few, that a child may write them. That a child may write them. It shall be few. Now, this is a hyperbole. Your child can't write very high numbers. This is a hyperbole. But it speaks of the fact it's going to be a great demise. Chapter 60 in verse 22. Had a little boy come up to me, and he's so anxious about the ministry. Everything, he just wants to know, you know, who owns the church and how do you get into preaching. And he's a little fella, and he's so interested, and he wants to do things for the pastor. And he said, one day he met me outside. He says, "How much money do you make?" And I said, "How much do you think I make?" And he looked at my Monte Carlo that's about 4 years old, all shiny and washed. And he says, "Boy, with that car," says, "you probably make $100 a month." See? They don't think in huge figures. And so the age shall be so few that a child can write them. I didn't tell him what he made. Wouldn't have made much difference to him anyway. A little one, this is 60:22. A little one shall become 1,000. And a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. So, you know how what the multiplication rates are. Well, a little one shall become 1,000. In that time, for the time of baby, he'll grow up, get married, have children. Number of them, they'll have each have children, and they shall have children. And in the time of 1,000 years, from that one will come 1,000. A small one, a strong nation. Now, this is again is a hyperbole. If he's older, I mean, he's going to have so many that it'll actually, you know, a nation before the 1,000 years over will come. Now, these things sound really preposterous, but if you go back and do checking. First of all, if you look at the scriptures in Genesis, and you see that here they are, like, you see that Cain goes out and builds the city of Nod. You say, how can he do that? You know, there's only about 3 people on earth, you know. I mean, there's only, you know, there's Adam and there's Eve, and Cain killed Abel, and that makes 3. How can he go out and build the city of Nod? Well, the scripture said they also had sons and daughters. Well, okay, so they had 26 others. And, but what do you get, how do they build a city out of 26? And 3 plays 29. If you begin to figure those children each having 8, 9 children, and then next generation, they each have 8, 9, and you do that a few times because Adam lived, you know, nearly 1,000 years. If you do that for a short time, you will end the tens of thousands in a very short time. In fact, Kyle in the Lift commentary says that within 100 years after the flood, they estimated, using a conservative estimate of 4 children for each family and generation, there's over 30,000 people in 100 years. And in 1,000 years, there can be a lot of people born from just a few. In Zechariah 10:8, next to the last book of the Bible again. See how fast you can get these scriptures. Now God is talking about going out and getting the you see, under King David, Israel was a mighty nation. And then it passed to his son, Solomon. And they ruled from the river of Egypt to the river of Babylon, scripture says. And then after his son Rehoboam, in the days of Rehoboam, there was a rebellion led by Jeroboam, which took 10 tribes to the north. And that left 2 to the south, plus Levi, and 10 to the north. And then after a period of time, because they would not walk with God in the northern nation of Israel, Assyria came down and took them captive, and took them away into Assyria. Now, some, of course, were left, and the Assyrians mingled with them. They brought in governors, they brought in soldiers, they married the women, they had children, they became known as the Samaritans. But those who were scattered, after a while, Assyria began to fall apart, get attacked by other nations, and these people, you know, were able to get loose, and they migrated all over Europe, and they migrated to England, and they migrated over to America, and all the isles of Britain and America, and other nations as well. And one of the tribes was named Dan. Even Dan itself has left its mark all over Europe, and Lundan, and Sweden, and Denmark, and the Danube, and just lots of places. And these people don't know who they are anymore. They don't know if they're an Israelite or a Gentile. They have no way of knowing. Because one can marry somebody else who is a Gentile, and because the chromosomes, you know, the predominant one prevails, and this type of thing, your appearance will not tell you. You can have so many blondes and blue eyes and various things, and dark people from Mediterranean countries, from the tribe of Japheth or whatever, that you get so mixed up genealogically as far as the genes are concerned, you can't tell. And you can't tell by your name. They didn't even have last names. The only baby who really knows is God. But the genealogy is always through the man. And the bloodline is through the man. And if you have, in spite of the fact that you're fed by the blood of the female in the fetus, but if you have a man who has several children, and if the girls marry a Gentile, of course that race is lost. That lineage is lost. The lineage is carried down to the male, so it doesn't make any difference for the ladies. But if one marries a Gentile, and they have several children, their children are still of the seed of the father. They are still Israelites. And they can marry Gentiles, but as long as you keep a boy in every one, you keep that lineage all the way down. And God says in the last days, he is going to call Israel back to that land. And he names the tribes. And they are not in existence today. The Jews today are only of the tribe of Judah, which is the tribe of ancient tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe, plus the Levites. That makes up the Jews, with the exception that there are small, as I said before, which are for all the tribes, which came down into Judah at the time of King Hezekiah, at the time of Josiah, both when they had revivals, and some wanted to keep the Passover, and they wanted to follow God, and they came down and left their nation. And then when the Syrians invaded, some more may have come down and into that nation. So the Jews do have minglings of all the 12 tribes, but they are predominantly the southern tribe, Judah. But there's going to be others. These other tribes, you don't see these other tribes existing today. They don't exist as tribes, but they shall be reunited again. God knows who they are. And that's the only thing that makes a difference. If God knows who they are, he knows how to bring them back. And he knows how to identify them. And we see here in Zechariah 10, because you see, this happens because we're not talking about, you see, well, I thought there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. That is true. And we're not talking about those who are in Christ who make the out translation. We're not even talking about those who are killed in the tribulation period and arise from the feet and are caught up. We're not talking about those, because those will come back to rule and reign in glorified bodies over the earth or on the earth or in access or whatever. But we're talking about those who are not in Christ, who live until the millennium. Now, true, they become in Christ, but remember, Jesus Christ was essentially a Jewish Messiah to begin with. The Jews were supposed to accept him. He wasn't a Gentile religion. He came into their own, and their own received him not. They were supposed to have embraced him as their own Messiah. And there's a covenant God made with Abraham that nationally, Israel, as a full house, shall again be restored in the millennial kingdom, in that land. And it's going to be a fruitful land. Remember, America's not going to be the same anymore. Things are going to change drastically. It won't be an American versus that who wants to go there. You can't look at that land. It's going to be greatly blessed. In fact, the people that remain on earth, not talking about those who have gone out, come back with Christ, but those who remain on earth, the most blessed nation on earth is going to be the Jews. The scripture teaches us so. And some of them say they should lay hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, let us go with you because God has blessed you. God has promised them, and though he has cut them off and brought blindness upon them, when the fullness of the Gentiles, the nations, become in, they are going to be grafted back into their own tree again, and they are going to be blessed. So it doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or Gentile right now. But at that time, they're going to be the leading nation, and God's going to bless. And so we read here, and I said all that because of the scripture here in Zechariah 10, verse 8. Let me read verse 6 first. And I will strengthen the house of Judah. That's the southern nation. And I will save the house of Joseph. Now, Joseph, Joseph, the house of Joseph normally speaks of the double tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Because Joseph, there was 12 sons, and he was one of them. But he got the birthright, had double inheritance. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. When they came into the land and they'd overcome, Joshua had appointed to them, according to the word of the Lord, a double inheritance for Joseph. So one of his sons, instead of Joseph receiving a full tribe, one of his sons received a full tribe, and the other son received a full tribe, giving him a double house. And so the house of Joseph usually refers to that. But sometimes Ephraim, which was the received the birthright of Ephraim and Manasseh, sometimes Ephraim is spoken of as Ephraim, and sometimes it's spoken of as the whole tribe of Israel, standing for the northern, just like Judah is spoken of to stand for the whole southern tribe. Also, sometimes the house of Joseph is used to speak of the entire nation, representing the entire nation, because he was the one that was blessed. He's also a type of Christ. And he says, "I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I shall have mercy upon them, for they shall be as though I had not cast them off." But you see, all of Israel was cast off. "For I am the Lord their God, and will heal them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and the heart shall rejoice as to wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, and the heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them." That means they're not in the land. He's going to bring them into the land. "For I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. Even as they have in the past, they shall increase again. And I will sow them among the people. I will bring them," hiss after the Israelites, "bring them in to Judah, and I'll sow them among the people. And they shall remember me in the far countries, and shall live with their children, and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria," so they were scattered, "and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them." I'm going to bring them in such numbers that there's going to hardly be place found for them. So here again is the increase and a bringing down into that land and increasing of that portion of land. Also, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. We go back a couple chapters, a couple books, I mean. Ezekiel chapter 36. Just in that vein, let's look at verse 24. "For I will take you from among the heathen, and will gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." Because the 10 lost tribes have been scattered in all countries. So is Judah. "And I will bring sprinkle clean water on you," and so forth. And then look over here in look at chapter 37 a minute, and verse 16. "Moreover, thou son of man, take one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions." See, Judah and Israel are said then to be opposites. Separate. Israel is the whole northern nation. Judah is the southern nation. "And they shall take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them together into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand." He is showing here, and then verse 19, "Saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand." And then he says, he also said that Ephraim shall no more vex Judah, and Judah shall no more vex Ephraim. He'll make them one again in that land. Now, we're looking at
Ezekiel 36, 37.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in a solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Not flocks of animals, but flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel 47, verse 22. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel, and they shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. Now they're going to begat children. There's going to be births. And they're going to do this for 1,000 years. There is going to be, in spite of the fact that the devil has robbed God of a lot of his children from the time of Adam to the present. Remember this. We are doubling every year, getting as many people in 30 years as we did in the time of Adam to 1830. Remember, God has had his people down through all generations. Granted, they were the remnant, the smaller numbers, but he still has had people. Now, in spite of the fact that most of the people have gone the way of Satan, yet there's going to be a great revival in the latter rain that shall sweep millions in the kingdom of God. Huge numbers shall turn. It's going to even make a death wound to the last world government, the beast. And there's going to be multitudes come in. Then, for 1,000 years, populating the earth, that'll probably reach a larger population in 1,000 years than the earth has ever reached. So time you take all of that for God, plus the mighty revival in the last days, plus the remnant of all time, God is going to end up with the biggest half. More than half will be on God's side. Even though it looks like up to the present hour that Satan is still winning and he's got most, he's going to end up with smaller peace, actually, in the long run. Now, I'm going to have to break right here because I'm going to have to break early because there's something that I must bring to you out of utter necessity. Will you please allow me to do that? I do not want to do this, but I must do this. So if you'll just kind of stay tight, I'll move into this other phase right now and get this over with. I do have an announcement to make. We need 200 more parent helpers for camp meeting because we want to rotate one of these people just once. If you want, and we've got 3 meetings a day, and we've got loads of classes. If you want your child admitted to camp meeting classes, both mother and father must register at the tables in the foyer today. We are requiring that if you are parents and you don't want to hold them, and you want somebody else to take care of your children, that you also must be willing to take care of other people's children one class, one session, just one session. That's only fair, isn't it? You know, it's a co-op is what it is. We don't have enough people to take care to do it otherwise. You know, everybody wants to be in camp meeting, and there's 3 times a day. So if you're willing to just one time do it as parents, in order to register and have your children there all the time, you must at least be willing one time to help. And so if you will register today out in the foyer after service, we appreciate it. I made an error last Friday night. I said that Sunday night, this coming Sunday, the services will be at 7:30 from now on. I got mixed up in my dates. It's the 15th. We have yet one more week. The bulletin says next week. Isn't that right? The bulletin says next week, and I said this week. So it's going to be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, which means that the following Sunday, the 15th, the service will start at 7:30, not 7, and it'll be 7:30 throughout the rest of the summer. Okay.